extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome to A Call to Greatness with host, spiritual counselor, psychic, and energy management trainer, Victoria Post. In this hour, Victoria and her guest explore our individual and collective calls to greatness and support you in finding the courage and resources you need to follow through. Can you hear it? Your greatness is calling. Now here's your host, Victoria Post.
And your greatness is calling. And welcome, welcome to A Call to Greatness. I am your host, Victoria Post, and you'll probably hear me referred to a number of times in this and subsequent shows as Vicky. I use both names, and so they're both part of my persona. This is a show that is about your call to greatness. It's about our call to greatness. Greatness can mean many, many different things, from the wonderful things that you accomplish. It can be simply how you are in the world, how you treat people, how you respond in difficult situations. The call to that greatness can also come in many forms, everything from divine nudges to people who annoy you and everything in between. And we're going to explore that today, how to recognize the call, how to heed it, how to honor it, even when you don't understand it, because sometimes they are hard to understand. And I'd like to begin, however, by honoring the fact that today, for those of you who are listening live on the Seventh Wave Network, today is the summer solstice, the longest day of the year, the day when there is the most light available. For those of you who are listening at a later time in the same season or even a different season, what I'm about to say will apply to you as well. And I would like to use that light today and let that light infuse the dialogues that happen on this show, the thoughts that you have, the projects that you have, the dreams that you have. May the light from today's solstice infuse them and give you the maximum possible benefit. I'd like to welcome as our guest today Father Jim Conlon. He is a facilitator of culture and spirituality. He's also the director of the Sophia Center at the Holy Name University in Oakland, an incredibly wonderful spirit. And I'd like to very much welcome you into the circle that is you, our listening audience, those who are listening live, and those who are listening later in the on-demand portion of the Seventh Wave Network. Welcome, welcome, Jim.
Thank you, Vicki. It's great to be with you.
And very delighted to have you. Today we're going to explore heeding the call, honoring the call even when it's a mystery. And I just couldn't think of a better guest to join me for this show than you, Jim, and I'm really, really delighted to have you. And as we begin this show, I'd like to dedicate it to two things. First of all, my vision for this show is, one, to give all of you some ways to identify your own greatness and some tools and resources to actually help you then respond to the calls and live it. Second, my vision for this show is to create a platform for what I call healing and inspiring dialogue, because I really do think that is the way that we will, one of the ways that we will achieve greatness collectively. And so I'd like to dedicate this show to the memory of, in particular, the two soldiers who died this week in Iraq, who were found dead, and the two soldiers who died a while back, but the reason for their death was brought to light again this week. And in their memory, I was very struck listening to the news that their deaths could not have happened had they, more people, been having the kind of dialogue that I hope to have on this show. So I offer this show as a healing for that energy and to honor the holographic energy that this show contains, that conflict, the resolution, as well as the experience. Second, I'd like to dedicate this show to my favorite mountain, to Mount Shasta. It's kind of interesting. If you look at my banner on the webpage on the Seventh Wave Network, you will notice that there's an image behind my picture. There's an image of a mountain climber. And I have always been a lover of mountains, and one of my particular calls that came was to climb Mount Shasta. And so that's kind of stayed with me, and Shasta is such an incredible mountain. It's a volcanic mountain, and it was born of fire erupting from underneath, and I love the concept of these volcanic eruptions from within, and I saw that, Jim, on your website, the volcanic eruption of the soul, and I love that image. And it's rather timely. I found it kind of synchronistic somehow that Eric Weyenmayer, who is a blind climber who climbed Everest in 2001, there's a film about him that was released this week on the A&E Network, I believe it was. And on the very weekend that Eric Weyenmayer was climbing Everest, yours truly, I was climbing Mount Shasta. So somehow I take these connections all as forward movement and send them my blessing. So that, by way of introduction, I'd like to begin this show and invite you to join me in a reflection. And I invite you now to open. Open to what is already moving within you. Open to anything that moves you during this show. And to what moves you in your life as you go through this day. Taking a deep breath and settling in to the words from psychotherapist Donna Markova. I will not die an unlived life. I will not live in fear of falling or catching fire. I choose to inhabit my days, to allow my living to open me, to make me less afraid, more accessible, to loosen my heart until it becomes a wing, a torch, a promise. I choose to risk my significance, to live so that which comes to me as seed goes to the next as blossom, and that which comes to me as blossom goes on as fruit. This is a day to honor the cycles of life, the seasons of life, the light to dark to light again, beginning to ending, the call towards something, the call to let it go. Taking just a moment to be aware of the impulses moving through your body. Summer is an abundant body time. Be aware of any sensations, calls that you feel in your body. Let them dance today. And taking advantage of the light that is available today, the extra light, let it illuminate your own light inside of you. And let your light shine just a little brighter today into the places in your life that need the illumination, into the places in your life that are filled with wonder. There is greatness in you wherever you are in your life. It's time to find it. Coming fully back into the room now, letting yourself feel fully alive and ready to participate in this morning's dialogue. So, Jim Conlon, when I was thinking about how I would introduce you, my experience of you and being in your presence is you are yourself like a call. In being with you, you called me to ponder in a way that maybe I don't ordinarily or don't always do. You called me to a deeper place in myself. And I was very, very struck by that. Is that, I'd like you to begin by sharing just a little bit about your own journey and how you've come to where you are.
Well, thank you, Vicki, and again, it's great to be on your program, and I think it's going to be a real service to a lot of people who are groping, like little inchworms out on a dangerous culture, kind of exploring the unknown, the mystery of hope and future. You know, I was thinking, in response to your question, I received a card the other day from one of our graduates who's in Germany, a woman who has worked with Albert Nolan in South Africa for many years, but is now back in her home country of Germany. And she joined a group of her, she belongs to a religious community called the Dominican Sisters. And a group of them were up in Genesis Farm, which is a learning center in northwest New Jersey. And this is what they were pondering. And this is an international community representing all countries around the world. The question they asked themselves was, what is the earth offering and asking of us today?
And we will ponder that question in a minute after we come back from these breaks. Stay tuned. There's more, including your calls on A Call to Greatness.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Can you stay present and centered even when everything around you is completely out of control? Can you find joy, meaning, and peace even when life seems to be falling apart? Can you love yourself even when your inner critic is right? The soul journey is filled with complexities that will take you from adversity to ecstasy through power and vulnerability, from magical moments of connection into deep states of loneliness, from life to death and back again. With all the twists and turns, it's no wonder that we all sometimes have to ask for directions. Victoria Post, licensed minister, clairvoyant, and spiritual counselor, can help you keep your spirit alive while surrendering to your soul's journey. Victoria's mastery is in her ability to communicate information and apply practical and powerful tools to all life situations. She has honed her natural skills through clairvoyant training and years of personal work with Temenos and the Naos Foundation School of Sacred Studies. Clients say she has a healing and calming presence, provides focus and great clarity, and gives them permission to be who they are and make their own choices in life. Victoria offers individual counseling sessions and conducts classes in voice dialogue and other energy work. Additional services include public speaking, officiating for weddings, and other rituals and ceremonies, voice coaching, and customized songs for special occasions. When you're looking for support and guidance provided with absolute integrity, whether you need to appreciate the place you've landed or find the next path to follow, call Victoria Post at 415-928-2711, extension 2, or visit her website, SpiritAlive.com. Victoria Post at SpiritAlive.com. Naturally compassionate, innately spiritual, real and down to earth.
I can take care of myself. I can make a peanut butter sandwich. I can brush my teeth and I can give myself a bath. I can walk home alone from school. I can pick dinner from the trash behind the deli. I can watch the baby for the whole weekend. I can keep a baseball bat by my bed just in case there's trouble. Don't worry about me. I can take care of myself.
If you're in jail, who'll be there to take care of your family? Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5794. Now back to the program. Here's Victoria.
Thank you, and indeed welcome back. And we left you pondering. We were pondering what the Earth is asking of us. And I think it's part of a bigger call that's happening in the collective. But Jim, you were going somewhere with this.
Well, you know, I was talking to someone yesterday who was actually exploring the possibility of joining us here at the Sophia Center. Mm-hmm. And here's someone who's at sort of midlife, trying to explore options. So she asked me, she said, well, how do you deal with that? And my response was, when I came from Canada 22 years ago, it was not my intention to be here for this amount of time. And when I kept asking the question about what was the next step in my life, there was some kind of I guess you would call it a cellular energy. It wasn't in my head. I didn't figure it out. But I felt, by listening to my whole being, my body, there was a sort of magnetic intuition, if you will, almost like having a magnet or a compass in your heart that somehow directs you, not with a map, not with a predetermined outcome, but just moment by moment kind of summons you to the next step. You know, we live in a world that some would call vocationless culture. In other words, that people don't feel their heeding, their call to greatness. I don't believe that. What I think the struggle is today is that we have a culture that doesn't envelop these generous impulses, these divine nudges, or what I call sacred impulses.
Mm-hmm.
It's in all of us. Parker Palmer, the great Quaker, says, you know, this is his question. What do you hear when you listen to the voice of vocation? Vocation, the heeding the call, doesn't come just from inside. It comes from listening to what's needed outside. That's why this wonderful group in New Jersey were saying, what is the Earth asking of us? They weren't saying, what would I like to do? But rather, what is
the Earth,
with all my gifts and all my background and my experience,
mm-hmm,
how can I align my energies to the universe at this moment in history to participate in what some would call the great work, the historical mission,
mm-hmm,
that all of us are called to participate in, and that is uniquely, I think, poignant at this moment in our collective history.
What is so poignant about this moment? I imagine that there have been impulses as long as we've been on this earth, that people are called in some form or another throughout history. What is so poignant about now?
Well, you know, one of the things we've learned is that the particular calling or the particular focus of great work of any generation usually is in the wake of a disaster. In other words, we simply have to turn on the news. You announced it so kind of painfully and poetically this morning when you paid honor to those who've most recently died. And so every day we hear about this.
Mm.
This morning I heard that a third of the graduating class of high schools around this country did not make it. A third, two-thirds of, only two-thirds of high school graduates actually are moving on.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
The ecological devastation is incredibly rampant. I visited friends in Toronto. Two have had bypass surgeries and two have leukemia. It's just an epidemic, not just in that one city, but the ecological devastation, the death of species, the extinction spasms that are diminishing the divine presence among us, it's a moment of crisis, but it's also a doorway to opportunity. I read something the other day that I thought was very exciting. People who are in the so-called baby boomer generation, who years ago, when they were 18 or so, had a vision of what they wanted the world to be like. But then they got caught up in mortgages, marriages, jobs, family, and the Reagan and Bush era.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as leisure comes back into their lives, those initial impulses to make the world better and different are becoming reactivated. And young people of all generations, and this one also, have those dreams. There's a new partnership growing, a new heeding of the call in your language, both by the seasoned and the seasonal, if you know what I mean.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think that there's great hope. I talked to a group last Saturday who are responsible for the formation of religious in different communities around the country.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't find the same hope there. Because, see, the vocationalist culture is not a lack of impulse and generosity and contribution that young people want to make their world better. They can't find a context anymore to support their generosity. The crisis is a cultural earthquake that's collapsing around us, and we need to build alternatives to support these. It's like little pieces of grass coming up through the cracked sidewalk.
Right.
The grass is there. Sidewalk is too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And in that whole scenario,
we have a caller. Her name is Wendy from Pennsylvania.
In this particular scenario that you paint, how does one sustain hope in the midst of the vocation, the vocationist culture, in the midst of the need to survive and actually thrive?
Victoria, you could also speak up a little bit so as well.
You know, I think that there's, in our popular culture, there's a deep confusion between hope and optimism. And optimists kind of look at the world, they overlook the struggle, they deny the darkness, and sort of have a lollipop approach to everything's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But you know where hope comes from? Hope comes from struggle. It doesn't come from victory, it comes from struggle. It comes from the person in the Tenderloin here in San Francisco who, you know, supports the homeless. It comes from the young man that I met last week in Ontario, Canada, who's got a garden that he shares with the people. It comes from a dairy farmer who actually refuses steroids and grain to his cattle and actually doesn't want more than 35 cows because he said, you know, when you live in a city, you don't know anybody. My cows, they live in a village. I want a community. That's the kind of consciousness that gives us hope. It isn't by measuring all those NASDAQs or all those economic indicators that we get on the news.
Right.
What about the Earth National Product? Who is actually giving life to our planet? That's where hope comes from. It comes from the heart, and it comes from heeding the call. Because when we know our lives are meaningful and purposeful, then we know that tomorrow will be different than today.
Yeah.
That's the essence of hope. It's resurrection in the Catholic or in the Christian term.
Mm-hmm.
Hope
mm-hmm.
transcends. I have a sign outside my door by Barbara Holmes, a wonderful African-American theologian. She says, transformation and transcendence is always an option.
It always is an option. And we do have a caller. Wendy, welcome to A Call to Greatness.
Thank you, Victoria. Hi, Father.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great.
Good. Thank you. Me too. How do we help people who don't understand how to find optimism and don't understand that a crisis really is an opportunity and rather run from it instead of being willing to sit with it, be with it, embrace it, and even find joy in grief and sorrow and pain, knowing that hope and growth are around the next corner. So many people mm-hmm. who are not listening to this program run from anything that they feel is threatening to their moment, present,
mm-hmm.
here and now, stability, emotional stability, and so the growth doesn't happen. So how do we get people from A to B, which is such a huge gap?
Well, or is it? The question as I hear it is how do you guide people to be able to heed their calls? And
or to know they have one.
To know that they have one, which they do, and we will explore that after the wonders of radio and commercial breaks, and do stay with us for that on A Call to Greatness.
Awaken Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Can you stay present and centered even when everything around you is completely out of control? Can you find joy, meaning, and peace even when life seems to be falling apart? Can you love yourself even when your inner critic is right? The soul journey is filled with complexities that will take you from adversity to ecstasy through power and vulnerability, from magical moments of connection into deep states of loneliness, from life to death and back again. With all the twists and turns, it's no wonder that we all sometimes have to ask for directions. Victoria Post, licensed minister, clairvoyant, and spiritual counselor, can help you keep your spirit alive while surrendering to your soul's journey. Victoria's mastery is in her ability to communicate information and apply practical and powerful tools to all life situations. She has honed her natural skills through clairvoyant training and years of personal work with Temenos and the Naos Foundation School of Sacred Studies. Clients say she has a healing and calming presence, provides focus and great clarity, and gives them permission to be who they are and make their own choices in life. Victoria offers individual counseling sessions and conducts classes in voice dialogue and other energy work. Additional services include public speaking, officiating for weddings, and other rituals and ceremonies, voice coaching, and customized songs for special occasions. When you're looking for support and guidance provided with absolute integrity, whether you need to appreciate the place you've landed or find the next path to follow, call Victoria Post at 415-928-2711, extension 2, or visit her website, SpiritAlive.com. Victoria Post at SpiritAlive.com. Naturally compassionate, innately spiritual, real and down to earth.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball. While gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5794. Now back to the program. Here's Victoria.
Thank you, and welcome back. We are speaking today with Jim Conlon, director of the Sophia Center for Culture and Spirituality. And Wendy is no longer on the line, but we're going to continue with her question, which is, how do you help people find that place where they can look for their call? How do they get from either a place of despair or a place of simply wanting to run from the crisis? Jim, any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, There's a wonderful Latin American, Ruben Alves, who I think has articulated what hope is about better than I ever could. I just have a couple of lines here. I looked up at a break.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Hope without suffering creates illusion, naivety, and drunkenness. So let us plant dates, even though those who plant them will never eat them. We must live by the love of what we will never see. Disciplined love is what has given prophets, revolutionaries, and saints the courage to die for the future that they envision." I think hope is like...
Wow, that's powerful.
It's the impulse to immortality that mm-hmm. lives in all of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a parent has a child that lives on beyond them. And if we can plant dates, whether it be our... by heeding our call, that something can, in a sense, be resurrection energy for our future and for the future of the children particularly.
Mm-hmm.
To me, hope is in the children, not just two-legged ones, but every species.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the hope lies.
Right.
Thomas Berry, who's 92 years old, Passionist priest, really one whose work most defines what we do here at Sophia. When he was asked one day, "Thomas, why have you spent your whole life trying to create a better, a more mutual enhancing world?" You know what he said? "I do it for the children." That's our hope.
Mm-hmm.
However it is, whether it's the plant in the yard, the tree, the little bird in the nest, or the child in the nursery, that's our hope.
And how do you invite or encourage someone to that level of hope?
Well, you know, someone said, it's only when it's dark that you can see the stars. I'm actually working on a new book I call From the Stars to the Street.
That's a great title.
And, you know, it's like, that's what we have to do. Sometimes... I often say we have a world of workshop junkies who are always looking outside themselves for the answer or for the clue or for their call.
Yes.
But as someone who is sight deprived like yourself, your wisdom is terrifically poignant, powerful, and accurate. And, you know, there's a darkness in each of us that, in a way, we need to be able to peer into.
Mm-hmm.
And it's out of that darkness that we will see the star of our own calling.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes courage. It takes the capacity to coexist with pain. And it also makes it possible, it's necessary for us to live beyond this moment and to see that we are here to leave something behind. That's, I believe, where hope resides.
Yes, and what I'm hearing as you speak is that my experience is I am inspired at a deeper level just listening to you, and that makes me think that what Wendy and others who are helping people, who are working with people, that what we can do is be with people and be witnesses to their pain and simply walk alongside them until they have their own capacity to heed their call.
That sounds wonderful. I think it's really true. And, you know, there's so many possibilities. One of the ways I would suggest or respond to Wendy's question is, We need to hold hands. Solidarity is what makes it possible to see the stars. We can't do alone what we can do together. And if anything is necessary in a culture that is toxic and in some way many of our institutions now oppose their original purpose, justice, religion, corporate life, etc., We need to be able to create alternative ways of living to house the soul of our of generosity and hope.
So what happened? It seems to me that we had this idea somewhere back in the 60s
mm-hmm.
of community, of really building something together and finding alternative ways to be. What happened?
Well, one image I have of what happened is perhaps because of the strategies that were inadequate, or for a lot of reasons, there was an enormous resistance that was encountered in trying to move these very embedded structures. And it was like running against a wall and then all of a sudden being terrified and somewhat surprised that the wall didn't move.
Right.
So people started saying, I can't move the outside world. I'll work on the inside world.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the me generation that was born out of the 60s where everybody went into therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Myself included. The problem was there wasn't the balance between the inner and the outer.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that momentum got lost. Now I think we have a more mature strategic approach which sees politics as harsh and cruel if it's not accompanied by an interior growth or spiritual development. But we also have discovered that the internal life, interiority,
mm-hmm.
if it neglects the structures of oppression, can be just self-serving and not really get it done. So I think if you look at the decades of the past, if you call the 60s the structural generation,
mm-hmm.
the 70s the psychic or introspective generation, and then the 90s what I call the retail therapy generation. Now we're at the end of the 90s and into the new millennium, we're trying to create an integral approach. What we call here at Sophia an integral ecology. An integral ecology that,
mm-hmm.
that integrates all of our cultural institutions and our interior life, our relationship with self, with other, and with however we perceive the divine or tradition within our journey.
It's interesting, too, that this seems to happen on a personal level as well as on the collective level. I notice in my own life that there are times when I'm very involved in the outer world and there are times when I become very introspective, and even following any call that I get, it takes a while to balance all the forces that seem to be contributing to that call.
I think that's really true. You know, when someone says that they've had a period of depression, our society tends to say that's pathology. I think our whole culture has been in a sort of a kind of dormant state now, but I think it's also a generative time when this new energy is being sort of fostered and focused, maybe subliminally for a while, but now beginning to surface. And I truly believe the creativity and energy that is being expressed by so many people is going to converge. You know, Margaret Mead said, when did the first healing happen? You know what she said?
What?
She said it happened when there was enough people that surrounded the person with the broken femur so that that person could heal. That's what we need to do. We need to surround each other and ourselves and our planet with enough energy and compassion so that we can actually see and honor the sacredness of the planet. Then healing can happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's what these people in New Jersey were asking for. I think we're all asking for.
Yes. And I know that even in launching this radio show, when I think of the tremendous number of people who supported me, gave me advice, wished me well, taught me things over the last, 20, 30 years, that their energy contributed to the realization of a dream.
Absolutely.
And it took every one of them.
And my sense is that the realization of your dream in terms of this radio show is the kind of context where other dreams can feel they belong and are nourished. What you're really doing is creating, I believe, the very thing that's most needed in our society, one dimension of it, that we're not alone in this. Our impulses can converge around common themes and common energies. And the great promise of this program is that it's really an envelope, a membrane, if you will, that makes the beauty of people's personal aspirations for greatness to heed that call and in a collective way express themselves.
Thank you. Thank you for that. What happens when someone feels an impulse, feels a call, but it's very unformed? They're not necessarily easy to recognize. Like, you know, sometimes you can get a call that says, I need to be contributing or healing or being a little somehow more mystical. How do you respond when it's unformed?
You know, that's a great question. And it's something I thought about a lot, and I think maybe what I say doesn't will be rather different than you expect. I think we should, you know, it's like, this is how I see it. You know, there's a lot of women who struggle to get pregnant, some of whom have had miscarriages. And there's something very delicate that happens at the initial time when someone is becomes, when life begins to grow inside. That's what I think we should do. It's almost like by saying it too soon, we could, in a way, displace this seed that's growing in us.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't express it in due time, it's like watching something grow on a tree. If we pick it too soon, it's green and not tasty. If we don't pick it soon enough, it becomes, maybe perhaps rots and has lost its flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Rilke, the great poet, says, patience and timing is everything. We need to grow our soul with patience, timing, and a sense of our own interiority.
Wonderful. And once again, we will continue with this discussion on A Call to Greatness. Excellent timing on that response. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back with you.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Can you stay present and centered even when everything around you is completely out of control? Can you find joy, meaning, and peace even when life seems to be falling apart? Can you love yourself even when your inner critic is right? The soul journey is filled with complexities that will take you from adversity to ecstasy through power and vulnerability, from magical moments of connection into deep states of loneliness, from life to death and back again. With all the twists and turns, it's no wonder that we all sometimes have to ask for directions. Victoria Post, licensed minister, clairvoyant, and spiritual counselor, can help you keep your spirit alive while surrendering to your soul's journey. Victoria's mastery is in her ability to communicate information and apply practical and powerful tools to all life situations. She has honed her natural skills through clairvoyant training and years of personal work with Temenos and the Naos Foundation School of Sacred Studies. Clients say she has a healing and calming presence, provides focus and great clarity, and gives them permission to be who they are and make their own choices in life. Victoria offers individual counseling sessions and conducts classes in voice dialogue and other energy work. Additional services include public speaking, officiating for weddings, and other rituals and ceremonies, voice coaching, and customized songs for special occasions. When you're looking for support and guidance provided with absolute integrity, whether you need to appreciate the place you've landed or find the next path to follow, call Victoria Post at 415-928-2711, extension 2, or visit her website, spiritalive.com. Victoria Post at spiritalive.com. Naturally compassionate, innately spiritual, real and down to earth.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5794. Now back to the program. Here's Victoria.
And welcome back once again. So before the break, we were talking about honoring the call when it's kind of unformed, that you don't jump out too quickly. When you do finally get a sense of it, and you do finally start to talk about it and work with it, and the call seems big. The call seems almost overwhelming, like you don't think you have the capacity for it, and yet there's no roadmap. Calls don't always come with an action plan. How do you proceed?
Great question, and I think it's a living question,
mm-hmm,
that doesn't have a fixed response.
We have another caller, Jennifer from Oakland.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead and respond.
See, I think that one of the reasons we have difficulty is that we overextend ourselves. We expect too much, and therefore, because it doesn't seem to measure to what our expectations are, we tend to be in some way limited. This is my feeling. Carl Jung says it this way. What is a vocation? It's getting erupted from the trodden path of life. It's sort of getting shaken up,
yeah,
and mm-hmm, and getting in some way disoriented and then reoriented. And that's what's required. The great work doesn't mean that we get our name in the New York Times or, heaven forbid, CNN. But rather, we actually find ourselves a living aligned to the purpose for which we are here. We discover our destiny, and that's where healing happens, that's where the promise of the future will emerge, and that's what makes our soul whole.
Excellent. We have another caller, Jennifer. Welcome to A Call to Greatness.
Oh, thank you. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to thank you for having the show available. It's such a wonderful thing to have in the universe.
Thank you.
And I wanted to respond in regards to, I guess, Wendy's question on how is it when we have so much grief and pain in this world, how mm-hmm do you provide that sense of hope? And I liked your response, but also it's a matter of, I just wanted to add to it, in regards to, it's a matter of just being present, whether it be a person that holds the hope and being present there during those times of the lack of vocation or understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And your presence and your energy is able to help transform them, whether you speak of the things that they need to hear or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's that presence and the energy that you put forth that hopefully can reside in them where they can feel.
Exactly. It's like Jim was saying earlier, that concept of surrounding them.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank
Bye.
You. And in that vein, if you would like to follow...
caller Mary from Lafayette.
Thank you. If you'd like to follow this line of work and you'd like to delve into the great work a little more, the Sophia Institute is offering a summer series, which I want to make sure I mention before the show wraps up. And this is a series. Could you just say very briefly, Jim, a little right. tiny bit about it?
Well, the theme is the cosmology of health. The regenerative powers which reside within us and the planet and the earth together. We'll be featuring Dr. Larry Dossey, who is a New York Times bestseller author on the relationship between spirituality and health, Brian Swim, Pat Kane, Lynn Sabuto, Jennifer Berezin, a whole rest, Tom Cowan,
mm-hmm.
John Fox, a whole raft of people, of great healers, spiritual people, and it's July 20th to 23rd with a follow-up retreat, and Miriam Trace Winter from Hartford will be leading that retreat and participating in the Institute. You can get us, you can call us at 794-8813
right.
is the 800 number. Go ahead.
Yeah, you can, for more information about the Sophia Center, you can call 800-794-8813, or you can email Sophia CTR, that's SOPHIACTR at AOL.com, or check them out on the web at hnu.edu/Sophia. And I really encourage you to do that. And we have one last caller on the line. Mary, welcome to A Call to Greatness.
Hi, Victoria.
Hello.
Earlier you mentioned about the awakening of our generation, 60s and 70s, and then it kind of got lost in the do part, like what Father said about the mortgages and the children.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what we do is that we do have a life. How do you keep, or what are the tools you use to keep your greatness in what you do and to keep more alive that than just what you do? Because it seems as though what you end up doing becomes more.
Right. How do you actually deal with the mortgage and the
yes.
phone bills and the kids and the spilled milk and heed the calls?
Yes.
How do you balance that, Jim?
You know, that's... I just wanted to respond by saying I wasn't... I hope I wasn't misunderstood to say that all of those wonderful and generous acts of parenting and all of sustaining a marriage, living in the world, making your contribution, that what I was saying, I think... is that the culture during the time that the baby boomer generation has been doing that, there have been a lot of counter signals to repress the generosity that resided in them at a younger age.
Mm-hmm.
But now, with leisure and less pressure from the kind of corporate and even educational world and ecclesiastical, etc., those forces have somehow subsided because people are not as engaged or immersed in the dominant culture, perhaps with some retirement time or a less engaged work life, etc., then there seems to be a renaissance of those earlier implications and aspirations that now has possibility for being fulfilled because there's time for it, and they sort of went underground, but they didn't necessarily get buried
yeah.
totally.
Got
and
it.
I just
so,
want to congratulate all of you who sustained yourselves during these toxic decades.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much, Father Jim, for being with me. Thank you, all of you who tuned in today for the debut show of A Call to Greatness. I hope that you will take the risk to heed your own calls and to answer. And I also hope you will tune in again next week for A Call to Greatness, and you will experience the Vicky Spin as we continue our dialogue. Feel free to contact me at any time. I'm wishing you blessings and enjoy the light of the solstice. Much love until we meet again. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you for listening to A Call to Greatness. To contact Victoria, visit spiritalive.com. Tune in next Wednesday for another profound hour on The Call to Greatness with Victoria Post.